Here we go.
All right, perfect. Good morning, everybody. My name is Phil Albrechts. I'm hearing examiner for Kitsap County. This morning, we have a couple hearings on applications for accessory dwelling units, a conditional use permit to have those authorized. As far as land use hearings go, those are usually not too contentious or complicated, and it looks like that's probably the case today. The hearing format for both will be: we'll start off with a presentation from staff, who will give us an overview of what the application is about. Once that's finished, we'll move on to the applicants for those accessory dwelling units. And applicants, if you don't want to say anything today, that's perfectly fine. It would not be held against you or anything like that. It's just your chance to speak if you have something to add. Once we're done with applicant comments, then we'll move on to public comments. And Ms. Walston, do we have anybody in the hearing chambers today? I mean, do we have applicants or staff out there, or excuse me, or public out there?
We actually have we've got an applicant for the second item, and then we have staff, presenting staff and observing staff. So
Oh, okay, perfect. All right. And yeah, and we'll be hearing both from people in the hearing room as well as anyone who is linked in virtually as well. So anyone who wants to speak today certainly will have that opportunity. Once we're done with applicant comments, if any, we move on to public comments. After public comments, we'll do go back to staff for them to answer questions, provide rebuttal evidence if necessary. And then applicants, you get final word if you want it. And after that, I have 10 business days to issue a final decision. Copies of the decision will be distributed to everyone who wants one. Just make sure Ms. Walston has your email address so it can be emailed to you. And you know, if you don't have an email account, that's fine. It can be hard copy can be mailed as well. So now, by state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put into the record. That means the testimony that's put or presented today, as well as any documents that are admitted as exhibits. And let's start off with the first hearing, which is file number 22-03487. That's the Phelps application for an accessory dwelling unit. And at this point, I'm going to try to, can I share a screen, Ms. Walston? Do I have that ability today?
You should be able to. Let me, if it's giving
Okay.
you, if it's
No, I
okay, there
think,
it
oh,
goes.
there it is. Okay. It's coming up right now. All right. So let me extend that out a little bit. There we go. Okay, so this is the staff report that was put together for the Phelps application. As you can see, even for something as relatively simple as an accessory dwelling unit, there's a lot of work that goes into that. We've got the application forms, the floor plans for the project. We have the SEPA checklist, which is the environmental review used to determine whether an environmental impact statement is required. And I suspect that no EIS, environmental impact statement, has ever been required for an accessory dwelling unit. We have a septic design, a water letter, site plan, the notices of application, stormwater conditions that are imposed for this, the construction plans, and the notices, inspection reports, and so forth, along with the staff presentation, which would be a PowerPoint, and the hearing sign-in. So at this point, I just want to ask if anyone has any objection to entry of these documents into the record. Your objections would basically be limited to either you don't find the documents relevant to the application, or possibly there's some issue with authenticity, that a particular exhibit is misrepresented as being what it's not. So just want to ask at this point if there are any objections. If you do, it just you know, if you're participating virtually, click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. If you're in the meeting room, just say "I object" or wave your hand, and Ms. Walston will let me know. So I'm not hearing or seeing any objections, so I will admit exhibits 1 through 17. And who do we have as staff here on this one?
Hi there, good morning. My name is Izzy Lotz, Associate Planner. My name is spelled I as in igloo, Z as in zebra, Z as in zebra, Y as in yellow. Last name, L as in Lima, O as in Oscar, T as in Tom, Z as in zebra.
Oh, great, Ms. Lotz. Let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Good morning and thank you, Examiner Olbricks. For the record, my name is Izzy Lotz and I'm an associate planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. Today I'm presenting a request for approval for a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit to convert the use of an existing structure and come in conformance with current code standards for a detached ADU. Just a moment. I'm just waiting for the presentation to pull up. The application was deemed complete on September 1st, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with the project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrently with the notice of application dated September 9th, 2022. I wrote down that incorrectly on my notes. It's actually October 4th, 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on March 25th, 2024. The SEPA appeal period ended March 26, 2024. Sorry. Should have been 14 days from March 25th. I apologize. Again, my notes have the wrong date listed in them. No appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kipsett County Assessor, subject parcel 062602-2-003-2001 is a 0.81 acre in size site, addressed as 23804 Bond Road Northeast, Polesville, Washington 98370, in North Kitsap, Commissioner District 1. The aerial photo shows single-family homes and accessory structures consistent with development found in the rural residential zone. The proposed ADU is consistent with the properties in the vicinity. The parcel labeled subject site in red is zoned rural residential. Adjacent properties to the north, east, and south are also zoned rural residential. To the east is a state-maintained highway known as Bond Road Northeast. The proposed structure is to convert an ADU that was legally established in 1974. Above, you're going to see a critical area map. The subject site does not have any critical areas located within 400 feet of the subject parcel. The site plan shown above for the proposal shows access off Bond Road Northeast for an existing driveway to be shared by both dwellings. The site plan shows four spaces and will be meeting parking standards for the single family residence and the ADU. Here we have information about the single family residence floor plan. The assessor data shows the existing stick-built home used as the principal dwelling is 1,654 square feet of finished space. The floor plan submitted with the application is pictured on the left. The applicant completed a remodel after the conditional use permit was in review to convert an attached garage into habitable space of 351 square feet to be added to the square footage of the home. The change of the garage into the habitable area is shown on the right. This was completed under permit application 23-02678 and has completed its final inspections as of January 24th, 2024. The maximum square footage of the residence after conversion was 2,005 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed size of the ADU is 900 square feet. The floor plan also shows that there are no accessory dwelling units attached within the primary unit. Here we see the photo showing the existing primary residence. Here are some conceptual renderings demonstrating the elevation and design style of the proposed ADU. At the left is the north elevation, and on the right we see the south elevation. And here we are seeing east and west elevations. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size is 900 square feet of habitable area, with a 55 square foot electric mechanical room that is unconditioned space. It should be mentioned that Kitsap County Code 17.110.319 defines habitable area as the entire area of a dwelling or living quarters used for sleeping, eating, living, and/or cooking. Storage areas and garages are excluded from calculations of habitable area. The proposal is conditioned to comply with the following requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17.415.015B as in boy, as amended in June of 2022. Number one, there are no other additional accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the parcel. Number two, the owner will reside in the primary residence. Number three, 50% of the primary residence of 2,005 square feet or 900 square feet, whichever is smaller. Therefore, the maximum habitable area allowed is 900 square feet. Dimensions are determined by interior measurements. Number four, the ADU is a conversion of an existing structure. Number five, the ADU will have a similar appearance to the primary residence. Number six, the ADU meets all the setback requirements for the rural residential zone. Seven, all water and sewers have been met and approved. Eight, the proposed ADU is not a recreational vehicle or a mobile home. Nine, the ADU will use the existing driveway off Bond Road Northeast. And 10, the project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Title 12. Staff finds the proposal meets the special use criteria in Kitsap County Code 17.415.015B as in boy and recommends approval as conditioned.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Lotz. Just one question, maybe more out of curiosity than anything. You showed a picture of the primary residence and it appeared to have garage doors. Is that are there going to be some interior garage spaces in addition to the four parking spaces depicted in the site plan?
So the picture that was presented was prior to the remodeling of the structure. Oh. So the garage space is now living space.
And oh, okay. I misunderstood that picture as being the primary residence. That's a picture of the current garage, detached garage. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. That makes sense then. Great. Okay. Great presentation. Thank you, Ms. Lotz. Let's move on to applicant. Did the applicants want to say anything or are they present to testify, Ms. Walston?
They're here, but they don't have any comments to make.
Okay. All right. And members of the public, this is if you're out here to comment on this project, this is your opportunity. Any neighbors out there, anyone else who wants to say something? Do you see anyone, Ms. Walston?
I do not.
Okay. And that also same for virtual, is that correct?
I am not seeing any hands raised virtually. We do have a few attendees, but one's got a hand raised. So
yeah, let me reiterate again. If you want to say something from your virtual position, just go ahead and click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. And we're not seeing any takers there. So, okay. Well, I think at this point, then we can, I can wrap up this hearing and close it. And as I said, ADUs tend to be fairly straightforward and non-controversial. And this is another one of those and pretty easy approval. So we'll get that approval out within the next 10 business days. So thanks all for participating in this hearing. And I think we're ready to move on to the next one, which as I said, is another ADU hearing. And that is for the Winch Conditional Use Permit Application, file number 22-05273. And who's our staff for this one? Morning. Oh, I think I'm not getting audio. Are you getting is the speaker out? Oh, there you go. I see.
Here lights. We go.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Mr. Examiner. My name is Jennifer Kreifels.
Okay. Good morning, Ms. Kribles. And real quick, just and let me reiterate the hearing format. Ms. Kribles will give us a staff overview, then the applicants, if they want and not required, can add comments after Ms. Kribles is done. Then we'll move to public comment, if any, then back to Ms. Kribles to answer questions, and then the applicant gets final word. And at this point, like I said last time, we have to, the record is limited to the exhibits entered into the record and the testimony. That's all that the decision can be based upon. And I'm going to share my screen to go over the exhibits for this application. Hopefully this is the one. Let's see. All right. And Ms. Walston, is that the windshield? Is that what's shown on screen right now? The windshield?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. A few more documents on this one. Yeah, we have the plat map where the project site is situated, the applications. We have elevation plans and site plans, drainage review, pictures of the project site. We have the environmental review, which determined and no environmental impact statement is necessary. And we have utilities availability for septic and stormwater review. And we did get a comment from the Skokomish tribe, which I of course have read over, and staff provided a response to that. We also got a geological letter evaluation, stormwater conditions, and the notices involved in the hearing, the staff presentation, hearing sign-in. So like last time, if anyone has any objections, just say you object if you're in the hearing room, or click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. Objections would be based primarily on relevance or authenticity. So hearing, seeing no objections, all will admit exhibits 1 through 29. Ms. Kribles, I'll swear in at this point. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Examiner Ulbricks. And again, for the record, my name is Jennifer Kreifels, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. K-R-E-I-F-E-L-S, and I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. Today, I am presenting a request, a request for approval to a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit. I'll refer to that as a CUP-ADU. This is to convert the use of an existing structure and come into conformance with current code standards as a detached ADU. Site development review for utilities and access driveway and parking area are also included in the proposal. And give me one moment while I try to use my clicker here. There we go. All right, slide two. The application was deemed complete on March 6, 2023. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 in Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. One public comment was received from the Skokomish Tribe recommending eradication of invasive species while working with the Kitsap County Noxious Weeds Division or the local regional fisheries enhancement group to make sure best management practices are followed. Pursuant to Washington Administrative Code 197-11355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process or determination of non-significance. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated March 22, 2023. And the Department of Community Development issued issued our DNS on April 3rd, 2024. The SEPA appeal period ended April 17th, 2024. No appeals were filed, therefore the SEPA determination is final. Just to give you an idea where in the world we are, this is Kitsap County District Map, and it shows a proximity of Central Kitsap within Commissioner District 3. The subject site is addressed as 1333 Fern Lane West in Bremerton, Washington, 98312. And the parcel number is 192-401-4013-1005. Here are historical county imagery snapshots. On the left, it shows 1994 prior to the building, and post-construction is shown at the right, which is the 2001 aerial photo. The subject parcel became a legally buildable lot with a large lot subdivision number 108, recorded October 3rd of 1989 under auditor file number 89100301162. Here the subject parcel is shown. It is 9.06 acres in size. The aerial photo here shows Lake Tahuya to the north and Gold Creek Road west at the far east. This area is mostly single family homes with accessory structures consistent with development found in the vicinity. The parcel labeled subject site in red is zoned rural residential, as are the adjacent properties to the north and the west. The east has zoned mineral resource overlay and a rural wooded zoning. And then there's rural wooded also at the south of the subject site. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established in Kitsap County Code Chapter 17-420 as a 50-foot front setback to the west and 20-foot side and rear setbacks, which is being met in this proposal. Here's a critical areas map with the subject site highlighted in green, mapping moderate erosion. There is no new clearing nor any expansion proposed outside the existing development. A geologic letter prepared by Envirotech Engineering dated November 6th of 2023 addressed Kitsap County Code 19-400-440-D1, demonstrating their findings did not discover that a geologic hazard area exists within 200 feet of the proposed development for a new septic system to serve the existing structure proposed as the ADU. Here is the overview site plan for the proposal. According to Kitsap County Assessor, the existing accessory structure requesting approval for a CUP today was built in 1996. Prior to the construction of the single family residence with attached garage built in 1999, the plan shows access from Fern Lane West for an existing driveway to be shared by both dwellings. The site plan shows also that the minimum parking requirements in Kitsap County Code 17-490-030 will be met. This is an inset site plan, a little closer perspective, which shows on-site septic components, driveway, and parking. Here's slide 10. This is the applicant's floor plan, which shows the existing single-family residence is 2,828 square feet. Therefore, the maximum size allowed for that accessory dwelling unit is 900. Square feet. The floor plan here also helps to determine that there are no accessory dwelling units within or attached to the primary dwelling. Here are some current photos of the principal dwelling along the left, with the existing barn structure proposed to be the ADU along the right. As stated in the applicant's narrative, design style of the proposed ADU as a barn is similar in character and style with the farmhouse characteristics of the principal dwelling. This drawing is a slide showing existing and proposed, or actually this is the elevation, I'm sorry. Here's the elevation drawing. It demonstrates height is approximately 23 feet, not exceeding the zoning requirements, which would be 35 feet. And here is a drawing showing the existing and proposed for the main floor along the bottom and the second floor along the top. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size is 31 by 23 or 713 square feet of habitable area on the second floor with exterior stairs accessing the ADU on the second floor that also has a deck. The applicants wish to keep the entire first floor separated from the ADU above. Kitsap County Code 17-110-319 defines habitable area as the entire area of a dwelling unit or living quarters used for living, sleeping, eating, and/or cooking. Storage areas and garages are excluded from calculations of habitable area. And let's see, slide 14 is the proposal is showing it to be conditioned to comply with the following requirements of
Kitsap County Code Title 17415015B, also amended in June of 2022. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property, and the owner will reside in the principal dwelling. 50% of the primary residence is 1,414 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed habitable area is 900 square feet, and dimensions are determined by interior measurements. The proposed ADU is approximately 255 feet from the existing primary residence, which is allowed in County Code 17415015B4, since it is a conversion of an existing detached structure. The ADU will be similar in character or appearance as the primary residence. The ADU meets all the required setbacks for rural residential zoning. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not a recreational vehicle or a mobile home. And the ADU will use the existing driveway off Fern Lane West, as mentioned. And the project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. Staff does find the proposal meets special use criteria in 17415015B and recommends approval as conditioned.
Oh, great.
All right, this concludes the staff's presentation, and thank you, examiner. I'm available for questions.
Okay, yeah, just one basically was from the tribe's comments about the knotwood. They were requesting that all knotwood invasive species be removed from the project site, and I think the staff report said that or somewhere in there in the record said that that would be forwarded as part of the staff recommendation or something. I didn't quite understand whether staff was recommending that the knotwood be required to be removed, or you were just saying that the tribe's comments would be forwarded for consideration.
I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, that it was a recommendation.
Oh, okay.
To be considered, I would have to.
Yeah. I mean, do you consider that the unauthorized conversion made the knotwood situation worse? Because I'm kind of concerned from a legal standpoint. You know, as you probably know, we can only make a project applicant mitigate impacts they create. And I'm not quite sure how I see this project, created that condition. I think the stat that the tribe was looking at it from the standpoint is that they called it retribution, basically, which is what they're advocating is a fine here. And legally, I can't impose a fine unless the code authorizes it. And I don't think there's any fine, system in the county's code that for, after the fact permits. So, but I was kind of curious. I mean, was there something done to the property by the applicant that made the knotwood situation worse, specifically, this conversion?
I don't believe so. As the evidence shows, the structure had been existing.
Right.
And it was not the fault of this owner of the property. It had been used previously as an ADU. We can if they want to expound on that. However, that retribution, that wording I thought was pretty harsh. And I think that's why we recommended that they do reach out and work. We do now have a noxious weeds program in our department.
Okay.
And so I think it was just recommended and to work with them if they were able.
Oh, I see. Okay. What would be, how difficult would it be to remove the knotwood? Is that a major undertaking on this parcel, or?
I believe Japanese knotweed, from a novice experience, there is actually a chemical that is sprayed into the stalk of the knotweed. It's very hard to eradicate, and it's really bad for adjacent vegetation, and it inhibits the growth. It takes away from the other. So it'd probably be in the property owner's best interest to look into that because it can kill a lot of their other vegetation. And it is kind of becoming more rampant on Tohoya River.
Okay.
Understand.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. All right. Well, let's move on to the applicants then. Did the applicants want to add anything at this point? Again, that's not required, but if you want to say anything, now's your chance. And Ms. Walston, are they...
we've got, actually, I think you might be unmuted. You should be able to, yep, there we go.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, boy, I don't know what to even say. So I am well, just...
No, Miss Winch, let me swear you in first. I got to do that. So just raise your hand. And just so you know, your video isn't on. That's not required. But in case you thought it was, it's not at this point. But just raise your right hand. And do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Okay, so just to clarify about the knotwood, we just would look into what that is, and then if we find it, try to kill it. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I think the kind of the staff recommendation, but not requirement, is if I understand it, is that you eliminate it if you can. Yeah. And but it's, they're not saying that should be a requirement of the permit. The tribe, though, in their comments, I believe, does want it to be a permit condition. So, you know, the issue is whether I should make it a condition as opposed to a recommendation.
And so then if at the end of this hearing, you determine to not make it mandatory, then there's no chance to like come back and change your mind.
Well, if I don't make it mandatory, I would assume you'd be happy with that. But if I do make it mandatory, then you would have the option of appealing that decision to Superior Court, or you could ask for what they call reconsideration, which is just, you know, it would just be an email or document saying I'd like the examiner to reconsider his requirement for removal of knotwood.
And would the tribe have the option on their end to also appeal your decision to not make it?
Yes, they would. Yes.
Okay. And so we just wait and see if that happens, and then someone that's smarter than us will tell us what we do next.
Well, it's someone will tell you what to do next. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. So,
Okay. That's it, I think.
Okay. That's it. Okay. All right. Okay. Now move on to any public comments. Anybody in the room or anyone participating virtually, click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. Ms. Walston, are you seeing any takers out there?
I don't have any in room, and I'm not seeing any hand raised online either. So.
Okay. All right. All right. Staff, any final comments, or Ms. Greifels?
No final comments.
Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and close the hearing then. And I think on the issue of the knotwood, that would just have to be a recommendation as opposed to mandatory. Like I said, I think unless the county's code specifically authorized fines for after the fact permits, I don't have the legal authority to require it, because there's no evidence that the conversion created the knotwood problem. And by the state constitution and federal constitution, we can only make applicants fix problems that they've created, and this is not a problem that was created by the conversion. So my staff report my decision will note the fact that tribe wants it removed, and certainly encourage the applicant to remove it just for the sake of the creek and probably, their own property as well. But as Ms. Greifels said too, the chemicals involved sometimes can harm other vegetation as well. So, but beyond that, it should be a fairly straightforward approval like the last one, and we'll get that out the next 10 business days. So thanks all for participating. We're adjourned for this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.